And we turn straight to this passage of God's Word, and particularly verses 4 to 6. Isaiah 50 and verses 4 to 6. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme this morning is Jesus Christ the Righteous. Jesus Christ the Righteous. The book of Isaiah speaks much of the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly chapters 40 to 66 contain much prophecy concerning future deliverance, redemption from the captivity in Babylon through God's anointed, his servant Cyrus. Cyrus, of course, was not conscious that he was fulfilling the purpose of God, but in providence he would serve the interests of God and his people. But also beyond that, there are passages which speak of the redemption of the people of God from sin. By the anointed servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have several passages dealing with the servant of the Lord. And they refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, and so on. And likewise in chapter 49 and the first nine verses, verse 5, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, and so on. Then of course you have perhaps the best known passage, Isaiah 52 verse 13, right on through chapter 53, which is so well known. But also here in chapter 50 in verses 4 to 9, and these are the verses we look at this morning. Firstly, the words given by the Father. The words given by the Father. Verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The words given by the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ always fulfilled the will of his Father. And this is true of his ministry of the Word. That each word, every word of the Lord Jesus was according to the Father's will. In John 14 verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So the ministry of the Lord Jesus in word and in deed was always according to the Father's will. So again, in John 5 and verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. This is not speaking of a subordination of dignity or essential glory, but rather in terms of office within the triune Godhead. And so the ministry of the Lord Jesus was always according to the will of the Father. So in Psalm 45 verse 2, grace is poured into thy lips. That's speaking of his human nature, that the Spirit was given without measure to him. You remember that in his boyhood, that he had astonished the doctors in Luke chapter 2 and verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And then in verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was the man of the Word. He perfectly followed the Word of God. And when he was brought into his public ministry, he perfectly ministered that Word. So that even his enemies acknowledged, never man spake like this man, for he taught as one with authority and not as the scribes. Now, in our text, Isaiah 50 verse 4, when it says, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. This is using the picture of the teacher waking his pupils early every day to learn and to teach. And then verse 5 goes on, the Lord God had opened my ear, I was not rebellious, and so on. This indicates the perfect conformity of Christ's ministry to the will of the Father, that he is here represented as the one perfectly learning, so that he could say in John 17 verse 8, I have given them the words that thou gavest me. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man Redeemer, he was always divine. He never ceased to be divine, and therefore omniscient in his divine nature, united with the human nature. And the Spirit of God was so given to him as to his human nature, that his ministry was perfect. Not only his private life, but his public ministry was faultless and flawless and sinless. And that ministry is described in verse 4, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. The Lord Jesus Christ has the right words for weary sinners in his earthly ministry, and also as he continued to do and to teach from the Father's right hand through the apostles. He speaks a word in season to the weary, that is a fitting word, a word suitable to them. And he has suitable words and comfortable words for those who are weary of sin and would see him and have him and own him. So he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He has a fitting word, a word in season to them that are weary. He has words for struggling believers, words for the bruised reed and the smoking flax. So in Luke chapter 4, and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the Lord Jesus is the one who has a word in season for him that is weary. And he says to them, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He says to his people, in their feebleness and fearfulness, It is I, be not afraid. And why can he say this? Because he bore the wrath of God to be able to issue such words to sinners, to poor doubting Christians included, and to pronounce the poor in spirit to be blessed. The foundation of Christ's words in season to the weary is that he is the Redeemer, that he has borne the guilt of sin, and so he can say to sinners, Come unto me. He can say to troubled believers, Be not afraid. But then secondly, learning obedience. Verse 5, The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 we read, Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He learned obedience. Now, what does that mean? In what sense could the sinless Redeemer be said to learn obedience? Not obviously in the sense of having been disobedient and then getting better, because he never did turn away back, not once. But though he was, as a son, equal with the Father, yet in his human nature, he experienced not only the disposition and intention, but the practice of obedience. And that is what is meant by his learning obedience. He experienced obedience in his sinless humanity. He knew what it was to obey the will of the Father, and so to be made perfect, as verse 9 from Hebrews 5 tells us. Perfect not in the sense of sinless, because that he always was, but perfectly qualified for the office of the high priest of his people, in that he himself has suffered being tempted. He is able also therefore to succor them that are tempted. We have not a high priest not touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And so this learning, this experience of the practice of obedience, the demands of it increased as he proceeded through his earthly life. They became more intense. He was sinless as a child, as a boy, as a young man. Then he was sinless in his public ministry. Sinless in the superficial initial popularity of that ministry. Sinless when that popularity turned to hostility and hatred, when he was under the pressure of the hatred of the scribes and Pharisees and the fickleness of the people. He did not turn away back. That he should become the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. But then thirdly, obedient unto death. Obedient unto death. Verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He was obedient unto death. Christ's obedience meant that when the hour was come, he could say, now is my soul exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He began to be very heavy and was sore amazed. The contemplation of the wrath of God that was to be poured upon him caused him to be in an agony and to sweat great drops of blood and to pray, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. He turned not back away. We're told in Luke that there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, supporting his physical body, so that he would not die before bearing the full wrath of God upon the sins of his people. And our text refers to some of his outward sufferings at the hands of men. You'll notice those sufferings were voluntary. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The Lord Jesus, while he was in this world, said that he laid down his life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me. I have power both to lay it down and to take it up again. I lay down my life for the sheep. So he gave his back to the smiters. And of course that is fulfilled spoken of in the gospel accounts. Mark chapter 14 and verse 65. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And then more severely still, in Matthew 27 and verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. A Roman scourging was of such severity that sometimes the victim died under the scourging before the crucifixion took place. And our Lord Jesus fulfilled this word, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. We read that in Mark 14:65, that they spat at him. To spit in someone's presence is insulting in the East, but much more to spit upon them. And likewise, the pulling out of the hair of the beard from the cheeks, it was a sign of utter contempt. And in this contradiction of sinners, in this reproaching of men, our Lord Jesus was denied by them in all his offices. He was denied in his prophetic office, as we've seen on previous occasions. Matthew 26 and verse 67. Then they did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? They mock his prophetic office. They mocked his priestly office also in Mark chapter 15 and verse 32. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. They mocked his priesthood because they were saying, this is not the Son of God giving himself as the Son of Man, a ransom for many. Rather, he is an impostor. He is helpless. If he's the Son of God, if he's the Christ, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He gave his back to the smiters. He poured out his soul as an offering for sin. But his enemies were saying, no, no. They mocked his kingly office in Mark 15, verse 16. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and, bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. They mocked his kingship. Pilate mocked his kingship. He put the superscription, King of the Jews. He gave him two attendants to be crucified with him. Herod's men of war mocked him. The Roman soldiers mocked him. They gave him a mock scepter, a reed in his hand, and a crown of thorns. And all this was in order that he should, in truth, be able to speak a word in season to him that is weary, that he should be able to speak peace to poor, weary sinners. And this ordinance, the Lord's Supper, is appointed by him as a visible word in season to him that is weary. His poor, bedraggled people in this world have this from him, as a pledge of his love to them. So Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. What a word in season this ordinance is to weary souls, sick of sin and longing for him, whom having not seen, yet we love. What a pledge. This is the New Testament or covenant in my blood. It is a pledge of covenant love that he has pledged himself to his people to be ours forever, certified to us in this ordinance, so that in this ordinance he is telling his people, however tossed by a tempest in this world, he is telling them that he is their Redeemer and he will never leave them, that his covenant love will not be taken from them. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So this ordinance is a visible word. It's telling us what the scriptures say, but in this visible physical form according to Christ's appointment. The message of the written word and the message of the sacraments is one and the same. And it is a word of peace to his people. And so he says to them, Take, eat. This is my body. Drink ye all of it. This do in remembrance of me. Amen.